I like it when this happens. First hymn Brother Greg chose is one that speaks of God being the God of all nature, ruling all things. And the scripture Brother Ravi read is a scripture I have written down for a reference, and that's always encouraging to me that the Lord, same spirits moving the hearts of his people for the hour. Psalm 104 declares the sovereignty of the Lord, God's supremely powerful, ruling all over his creation, over all providence. And this psalm is dealing with creation and providence, but throughout the scripture, that's always used to illustrate our Lord's sovereignty and salvation. Now, I want to just look at three verses and concentrate mainly on just one statement. Let's begin reading, and I'll make a few comments till we get down to the statement. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Most believe this is David. The Lord used to pen this and he penned it right along when he wrote the psalm before it. And the reason most think that is because Psalm 103 begins and ends the same way as this one begins. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it ends the same way. He says, O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thomas called the Lord Jesus my Lord and my God. And that's who we're speaking about here. Our triune God in Christ Jesus is very great. The psalmist said in another psalm, his greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment. Scripture says God is light. That's his nature. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. You know, in the beginning, in the first creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then 4 days later, he created the sun. Christ said, I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world. When the Lord Jesus was transfigured, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He's the light. And he's at God's right hand in his glory, in that light now. And it's in his light that we have light. Our Lord is he that it says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He had declared him. If we're going to know the triune God, no man has seen him, it's going to be beholding Christ. And just like in that first creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, in the new creation, creating his people anew, God speaks and says, let there be light, and there's light. And that's what Paul said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We know this psalm is pointing us to Christ, to the triune God in Christ, because down there in verse 4, he says he makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. That's what the Hebrew writer quoted in Hebrews chapter 1 to declare Christ is preeminent over all, even the angels. So we're talking about Christ. He has the reins of heaven and earth. He's ruling all things, and he's the light. He's our God, the great God, verse 2, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. You know Isaiah 40, verse 22. He sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is making me feel really small, but that's good because it's making me see God really big, really big. Verse 3, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, the beams of his dwelling places. That's what his chambers are. It's where he abides. It's the beams or the floor of his chambers laid in the waters or above the waters. That is, in the heavens. Listen to Amos 9:6 says, it's he that buildeth his stories in the heaven. He's painting us a picture of a building with multiple stories on top of it. You remember Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. You could say, in my Father's house are many chambers. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He laid the beams of the dwelling of his people in his blood, in his covenant redemption that he accomplished for his people. It's a sure dwelling. It's a sure dwelling. Now here's the statement I want to focus on. Verse 13. Who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Now you picture this. Picture the clouds. You see the clouds in the sky. The clouds are the Lord's chariot, his vehicle. That's his chariot that he rides upon. He walketh on the wings of the wind. It means he rules all providence. It means everything in nature, he's ruling it. He created it, he's ruling it. He upholds all things by the word of his power, and he's ruling all things. He rides on the clouds like a chariot. Everything that comes to pass in this world, our sovereign Savior is the first cause. And he's doing it for the good of his people. He's doing it for his glory. He's doing it for the salvation of his people. Now you think of every cloud in the sky, in the sky, from the pleasant, bright, beautiful clouds to the dark, ominous clouds, to every wind, to the lightest breeze, to the greatest tornado and hurricane. He rides upon them all as his chariot. He walks upon the wind. And then the figurative clouds and the figurative winds of providence and the things that come to pass in our life, he's riding upon it all as his chariot, walking on the wind. So our subject is his clouds, the clouds, his chariot, the clouds, his chariot. Now, I was looking at this, and I just started looking at all the places in Scripture that speak of a cloud in connection with the Lord. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere in Scripture. The first place you find the Lord mentioned in connection with a cloud is when the Lord made a covenant with Noah after the Lord destroyed the world with water and all the inhabitants therein with water. Genesis 9:12, God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature. Here's the token. He said, the boat, the rainbow, shall be in the cloud. And I'll look upon it. He said, I will look upon the cloud, the rainbow, in the cloud. And he said, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God has kept that promise to Noah. He's kept it to all his living creatures. He's kept it to us. Kept it to us. He puts the rainbow in the sky. How does the rainbow get in the sky? How does it get in the cloud? Christ, the cloud is his chariot. He walks upon the wind. He put the rainbow in the cloud, and he's made it so all this time up to now. God says, I look upon that rainbow, and I remember my covenant. But he's put it there so that you that are regenerated, when you look up and see that rainbow and remember that covenant with Noah, it reminds us of a greater covenant than that. It reminds us of his everlasting covenant that Christ wrote in his precious blood. Christ himself is our covenant. He's the one. Remember in the heaven, John saw him. He had a rainbow about his head. He's our covenant. God looks upon Christ. He looks to his son and what his son accomplished towards people. He remembers his covenant towards you and me. That's a blessing. Then when the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, he brought them out of bondage. In Exodus 13:21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And the Lord was in that cloud. He was in the cloud. He led them the way. And he protected them. You remember when they were at the Red Sea and the cloud went between them and Pharaoh and his army. It was a cloud in darkness to Pharaoh and his army. A cloud of darkness. But it gave light by night to his people. So that the one came not near the other all the night. The Lord Jesus, the same Lord Jesus, he's darkness to our enemies, but he's light to you that he's revealed himself to. Same Lord. And then when they got into the wilderness and Israel murmured because they were hungry. They murmured because they were hungry. As Aaron spake unto the whole congregation, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The glory of the Lord. And when they were murmuring because they didn't think the Lord was, they said, Moses, you just brought us out here to kill us with hunger. And the Lord sent quail to them. And he said, you're going to know this day, you're going to know I'm the Lord. And he sent quail. And in the morning, he sent manna. He gave manna to them. In every trial of providence is Christ who's riding up on the cloud of providence as his chariot, walking upon the wind, providing every need we have in his life. He's doing that. And then at Sinai, they got to Mount Sinai. And the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And the Lord told Moses to go tell them to sanctify themselves. Be ready on the morrow. And they sanctified themselves, got themselves good and washed up. But then they saw the Lord in the cloud, thundering and lightning. And the mountain on fire with a tempest. And they trembled, and they were afraid, and they begged Moses to mediate for them, to go up between them and God. Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Moses went up there. God called him. The glory of the Lord. That's important. We keep seeing the glory of the Lord was in the cloud. The glory of the Lord. And he abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And Moses went up there. He's the daysman between God and the children of Israel. Moses goes into the cloud 40 days and 40 nights. He was there. And then he came down. We're sinners. Everybody God saves are sinners. And we have to have Christ the mediator to go between us and God. To represent us before God. Then, with the tabernacle, when they built the tabernacle. Exodus 40, verse 34 says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Every time we see this cloud, we see the glory of the Lord in the cloud. The cloud covered the tabernacle. The whole tabernacle was covered with the cloud, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then over the mercy seat, in the holiest of holies, in the tabernacle, Leviticus 16:2, the Lord said, I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. He said, Aaron can't come in here all the time. He got to come in here with the blood of the Lamb. He only comes when I tell him he comes. Because I dwell in the cloud over the mercy seat. It's there I'll meet with him. And then later in Solomon's temple, they brought the ark in. And the scripture says the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Now what's the significance of God revealing himself in the cloud and us seeing the glory of the Lord in this cloud? What is the significance of this? Christ is the glory of the cloud. He's the glory of God. And he's the glory in the cloud. Christ was in the cloud. And you know, and we don't have to guess about this, when they were in the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, or three altars to each of them. And the scripture says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. That's the significance of all those clouds we saw in the Old Testament. Our Lord is saying, here's my glory. This is my son. He's my glory. Hear him. Look to him. Trust him. Believe him. That's the glory of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We only see God by beholding Christ by faith. That bow in the cloud, Christ entered covenant to fulfill God's law for his people, and he came and fulfilled it, and he's the everlasting covenant. He's the one God looks to and remembers his covenant. The cloud that led the children of Israel, that's Christ's glory. He not only came and redeemed his people from our sin, it's his glory to lead us all through this wilderness, provide for us the whole way, and bring us to God. The cloud that was in the tabernacle up on the mercy seat, that's Christ everywhere. He was typified in the whole. He is the tabernacle. He is the mercy seat. The glory of God in the cloud. That's Christ. So at the end of his ministry, isn't this appropriate? At the end of Christ's earthly ministry, he's accomplished the redemption of his people, and he asked the Father, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with you before the world was made. Glorify me with your glory that I had with you before the world was made. So he stayed with his disciples, and he settled them, and he encouraged them for 40 days. And then he ascended, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight into glory. All this connection between his glory and a cloud, his glory and a cloud. But now, here's what our Lord's teaching us. He's our salvation. He's our Redeemer. Now, here's what our Lord's teaching us to remember. The clouds of providence are his chariots. He's riding up on the clouds. They are his chariot. And he walks upon the wind. He's ruling all for his glory and for the good of his people. Verse 13, Psalm 104:13, he maketh the clouds his chariot. He walketh upon the wings of the wind. Now think about some of the clouds he's provided for us in providence, how he's come. The Hebrew writer said he's provided us a great cloud of witnesses. All those Old Testament saints, how did they come into being? How were they created anew? How were they given faith? How were they made to believe Christ? Why are they a cloud of witnesses? Christ was riding upon the clouds. That great cloud of witnesses is all due to his glory, all due to his work of grace. Even you and me that believe, why do you believe? Because Christ sent his cloud of witnesses to us to preach the gospel to us by which he called us to himself. And what are those cloud of witnesses teaching us? They're teaching us to lay aside every weight that weighs us down, all the cares and concerns and troubles that we fret about in this world, to lay aside all our sins and to run the race set before us looking to Christ. That's how they went to the end. They walked by faith looking to Christ. And Christ kept them walking by faith and led them to that eternal city. The cloud of Christ's providence is his chariot. Listen to this from Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? If you can tell it. That's what our text is teaching us. Remember that night on that stormy sea, and his disciples were in the ship, and the sea's raging. Our Lord was asleep. How did that storm come about? How did that wind come about in the first place? It's his chariot. He walks on the wind. He sent it. And they woke him up, and what did he do? He said, "Peace, be still." And that wind ceased, and that sea became calm. He rides on the wind. He's ruling all providence. Now, sometimes his chariot is a dark cloud of providence. Sometimes it's dark. Everything of our flesh in this world is a perishing flower, just perishing grass. So if it's needful, our Lord will blow upon our wealth, and it vanishes. Starts wilting. He blows upon our health. It starts wilting. whatever it is that he needs to make to wilt, to make us cease to hold it on to it so tightly, he just blows upon it and it wilts. He sends some providence, some dark cloud. But in that dark cloud, brethren, you know, when the night is dark, that's when you see the stars. And when the cloud's dark and the providence is dark, that's when he's going to make you see all his promises shine like the stars. That's when he's going to make you know he's faithful and he's providing and he's keeping and you can trust him. And he does it by cleansing your heart. He does it by purging you and cleansing you and renewing you. This is what they said in Job. Now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. That's what he does. He sends the providence. The providence doesn't really do anything for us apart from him. But he cleanses you and makes you see him. Makes you see him. Then we behold his faithfulness and we behold his love. And we behold that he's providing what's most needful for us. And you know what that usually is? What we don't even know we need. That's usually what's most needful, what we don't even recognize that we need. And we wouldn't if he didn't make us to know it. But you know, think about this now. If the president was coming through our town, and everybody's gathering up on each side of the street to see the president of the United States come through, when he comes through, you're not going to be looking at his chariot. You're not going to be looking at what he's driving. You're going to be looking at him. Well, never focus on the cloud, the chariot, the providence, but look to him. Look to him, the one that rides upon it, the one that sent it. It's Christ himself that's going to give the blessing. It's Christ himself. He sent it to turn us to him. Every time, when the cloud is full of good, now this is me, and I'm sure this is you as well. When the cloud's full of good, sometimes there's a bright cloud. Sometimes the clouds he sends you are full of prosperity, and they're good clouds. And when that happens, what do? We look at the providence and the blessing that he's given us in it, and we say, oh, I'm blessed of the Lord. But then when the cloud is dark, our faith falls and our fears rise. And, oh, what's the Lord doing to me? He's blessing you. Just the same. Just the same. But our faith is not in the chariot. It's not in the providence. Our faith is in the Lord riding upon the chariot, riding upon the cloud, riding upon the providence. Our faith's in him. It's the same with the gospel. The gospel's his chariot. The gospel is the means by which the preaching of the gospel is the means by which he's going to make us know him. But it's not just the preaching of the gospel itself that saves us. It's him. When he comes and reveals himself, when the word speaks the word and makes you alive and makes you know him, and he teaches you more of him through the gospel that's being preached. You know, Christ revealed to us to himself that the Lord chose us in him and predestinated us to be conformed to his image. And that's why you rejoice in the doctrine of election and predestination. It's not just merely the doctrine. Christ made you to know he came and redeemed his particular people from our sin, saved us from our sin, that he has successfully accomplished the redemption of his people. That's what it's him that makes you love the gospel of the message of particular redemption. When he sent the Spirit, regenerated you and made it to where you could not believe him. You all you could do was trust him. Your heart, you didn't do anything to believe. You just started believing him. And he made you to know through his word that it's by his irresistible grace, by his Holy Spirit sending you the gospel. That's when you started loving his irresistible grace and the doctrine of irresistible grace. The doctrine and the gospel we preach is the means, but it's him who's riding in the chariot is the one who gives the blessing and makes you rejoice. And so it is with providence. When he sends some dark cloud, it's not the providence, or when he sends a bright cloud of blessing, it's not the blessing, it's not the cloud itself, it's him who's riding in the chariot when he reveals himself. You that believe on Christ, don't fear the dark cloud of providence, any more than you'd fear the bright cloud of good things. The Lord went to the cross and bore the thunder and the lightning and the fierce wrath of God in place of his people. He's not going to pour that out of the cloud on you. Sometimes it feels like it, though. But he's not. It's a very light affliction compared to what he's borne for his people. He sends just enough to make us see that it's not the enemy riding up on the cloud. It's our great high priest. It's our king. It's he who's got our names written on his breastplate. That's who's riding up on the cloud. This is where I was going to read that scripture Brother Ravi just read. He said, I'm the one that formed you, O Jacob. I created you, O Israel. Fear not. I've redeemed thee. I called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thy Savior, you're precious to me, he said. The Lord is, why does he send things like that? I said this before, that these little deliverances he gives us all through this life are keeping us constantly looking to the cross and remembering the great deliverance he's made for us. And it makes you see, if he hadn't come and delivered me, I'd have perished. I'd have perished. And it's teaching us more and more to hold loosely to everything in this world. It's teaching us more and more to value Christ and to value the privilege he's given us of being able to assemble together to hear the gospel with our brethren and to value brethren. This right here, the Lord don't give this everywhere. He hadn't given this all over the world. I mean, he's got little places in the world, his little hills throughout the world. But this is, brethren are all we have in this world. And we need each other. And this is what he's teaching us. He's teaching us what a blessing it is he's given us by giving us this. So when you see anything here below that's troubling, or even if it's a blessing and you see it as being a bright, joyful cloud, still look above the cloud and look to Christ and see him and know who gave it and know who sent it and know why he sent it. Go to Christ and cast all your care on him. That's the purpose. And just when it gets so troubling that you just don't think you're going to be able to withstand it and you don't think you that's the purpose, is to get us to the place, to bring us to the point where you see, I just can't go on. That's the purpose. You can't. You're right. You can't. But we have to be brought to that point, to where it's not just a figure of speech, to where it's true in our heart. I can't make it. I can't. I can't even lift my head up. And he makes you see that's true. I'm your strength. I'm your strength. And keeps us resting in him. That's when you see, like the bride saw in Song of Solomon, she saw him skipping over the mountains. Here he came, skipping over the mountains. That's what he's doing. He's riding in his chariot up on the clouds to keep us resting in him for our salvation. Now let me end. I want to end by speaking of the end. He's redeemed his people. He's purchased his people with his blood. You belong to him. And he's not going to let you go. He is not going to let his child perish in our sins. He's going to keep us looking to him and trusting him and walking after him. And he's going to do this all the way to the end. You know what's going to happen in the end? Our Lord said, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming, how? In the clouds of heaven. He's coming in the clouds of heaven. There's his chariot. He's going to come. I don't know what that's going to look like, but every eye's going to see him. Every eye's going to see him. And he's going to be coming with great power and with glory. Have you ever Have you ever been at night sometime and seen something in the sky, some light, little light in the sky, and a thought crossed your mind and you think, I wonder if that's him? We're not going to have to wonder. We're going to know it's him. But he's coming. And that's our hope. We're watching for his appearing. Watching for his appearing. That'll be a day of our full redemption. He won't just be redeeming you out of some temporary trial. He's going to redeem us out of this earth into his glory with him. That where he is, there we may be also. And here's the thing. This is what he said too. If our bodies are in the grave, we're going to be raised first. Our bodies will be raised first. But if we're alive when he comes, this is what he said. Either way, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a lot in the scripture connecting the clouds with the glory of our Lord and his sovereign salvation and his sovereign providence ruling over everything in this world. That gives you a new way to look at clouds, don't it? So here's what the hymn writer wrote. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Amen. All right, brethren.